I want to just read a passage very quickly and then show you how you, even balcony people, are in the Bible. Did you know you're there? Not exactly by name, but certainly sort of by attitude and by your way of looking at things. So if you would like to read with me, I'm going to read a passage here from Mark chapter 5. It's an interesting story. I'm not going to reflect a lot on the story, so you'll just have to really pay attention while I read it. It's going to be your only chance to get the story part. Then we're going to look at how people responded to this, okay? So Mark chapter 5, and we're going to pick up at verse 1 and read down to the end of this account. Mark 5, 1. Then they, that is Jesus and the disciples, came to the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he, Jesus, asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all the things that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. In this story, we find Jesus coming along to this place called Gadara, where he meets a demon-possessed man, and Jesus very specifically, very clearly, very dramatically delivers him from demon possession. Now, I suspect that the majority of you are not in need of deliverance from demon possession this morning. And yet I want to tell you that in fact Jesus is here in our presence this morning in the Spirit, and he does want to deliver you, perhaps from demons, but certainly from sin and the effect that sin has on your life. He wants to deliver you from selfishness. At this point, I have a strong temptation to say, if you have any selfish tendencies, would you just put your hand up? But don't, because you don't want your neighbors to know about that. We're all selfish, and we all need to be delivered from that. Jesus comes to us this morning to deliver us from everything that would keep us from having a vital relationship with his Father. And he did that. He's able to do that because he died for us. He took care of our sin. He took care of our selfishness. He took care of defeating our great enemy, Satan, on the cross. When he shed his blood, he, in effect, made it possible for us to have a way to God. And now, as we have that understood, Let's look at the reactions of the people to what Jesus did in delivering this demon-possessed man and how, well, they become sort of representative of us today, right here in good old Charlottetown, PEI. Verse 14, so those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And we'll stop there. So the first group of people that we discover are the people who were swine herders. There are some of you here, possibly today, who are like swine herders. Did you know that? Why would I say that? It's because the swine herders didn't get the spiritual significance of what they had just witnessed. This was a man who had been dominated and possessed by demons for years, could not deliver himself. Nor could any man tame him, as it says. They had put chains on him and shackles on his feet. And the demons gave him superhuman strength to break free. And these swine herders were only concerned with themselves. And it's possible that this morning you are here and you're really only concerned with your own perfect little world. You just don't get this spiritual thing. And I don't honestly know why you're here. Maybe you came because somebody pressured you to come, but you look outside, and it's really good you have frosted windows, because then you don't get distracted. But you know that it's a nice day out there, and you can think of at least a dozen other things you could be doing, a dozen other places you could be other than sitting in this building this morning, listening to somebody go on and on and on. You don't get it. You don't understand what Jesus has done for others here. You don't understand his offer. And if you're in that category this morning, you're just unsure, like, what is this church thing all about anyway? Why would anybody want to do this? I'd be really happy to chat with you after. Just a little one-on-one time. And I would try to explain to you in a way that you would understand just what's involved. I don't have time to explain it now, but it's some of those things are best done in private. So some people didn't get it. Some of you may not get it. So as these swine herders ran away, seeing their employment basically vanish into the sea and drown, they were telling everybody. As they were running by, they were kind of letting people know, both in the city and in the country, what had happened. Oh my goodness, all those swine. You see, they were focused on the swine. They weren't focused on the man and what had happened to him. They were missing the spiritual reality. They only talked about what they saw with their eyes. And so the people were curious. My goodness, this sounds like a great story. Let's go out and see what happened. And so they went out, and of course they didn't see any swine because they had been drowned in the sea. What they did see was this. They saw Jesus, and they saw the one, this is verse 15, who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, and he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Wow! This guy has been the scourge of the community for as long as we can remember. And he is the most antisocial person in our world. He lives in the tombs. I don't have time to explain it all, but tombs in that time and place would have been just rock caves that had been carved out of the countryside. And bodies would be put in there, and they would decay, and then they'd take the bones and put them in ossuaries and so on. It's a big, long story. But the fact is, there were empty tombs waiting for a new dead body, and that's where he lived. He lived in there. He was like that. Luke tells us that he didn't wear clothes. That's why it mentions particularly here that he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. He shrieked. He just made loud, scary animal noises. He cut himself with sharp rocks, so he was bloody. I seriously doubt that he paid much attention to personal hygiene. Just doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would care about that. So imagine the townspeople come out and they see him there. He's sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they rejoiced, right? Any of you following this? They were afraid. Why would they be afraid now? would have been more appropriate to be afraid of him earlier. I really believe that what they were afraid of is Jesus, and we'll see why, because when in verse 16, those who saw it told him how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and they began to plead with him, Jesus, to depart from the region. See, they weren't so much afraid of the man, they were afraid of Jesus. Some of you may be afraid of Jesus, because if Jesus really is going to do for you what I told you he could do for you a moment ago, that's going to mess up some lives. And I think these people saw this demon-possessed man, and they thought, if Jesus can do this to him, what would he do if he started cleaning up my life? My little secrets, my little shortcuts, the way I take advantage of people and situations. And they said to themselves, don't like this. Jesus, just get in your boat and go. Some of you may be responding to the gospel this morning in that very same way. You know, you're pretty happy with the corners you're cutting, the people you're taking advantage of, the situations where you always manage to manipulate things so that you come out ahead, so that you are the winner. That's a dicey place to be, because basically you're saying that my little world, my sinful little world, is preferable to righteousness, being fair, being right, being godly. Now, this won't come as a big surprise to some of you, but the advantages that you have in this life now that you're afraid Jesus might change only last until you go into the grave, and then there's a big negative repercussions after that. But if you let Jesus change your life now, the benefits of that change last eternally. Then we find in verse 18, the man himself. And when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Here was a man who wanted more of Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. I hope that most of you here this morning are in this category. You've been delivered. This is old news for you. But you've come together here this morning because you want to be closer to Jesus. You want to be closer to those that are his family, people that he loves, people that love him. And we call this fellowship. And we want to be there in that situation. So you've come here to do that. That was what this man wanted. He'd been delivered, and all he wanted was to be close to Jesus. I hope this is where most of us are this morning, that we want to be close to Jesus. Then finally, we see this interesting situation where Jesus did not permit him to go with him. Jesus was going away to the other side of the lake, and he said, no, you stay here at home and tell all your friends and family about the great thing God has done for you. That's a little bit like the situation that we Christians find ourselves in now, isn't it? Jesus has gone away to the other side and left us here to witness to our friends and family. But then there's another category of people here, right down in the last verse. You'll notice that the man was immediately obedient, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, some of you may be here this morning, and you're just thinking, you know, I know some Christians, and I know some people who were horrible drunkards, or drug users, or sexually promiscuous, or gamblers, or I don't know what all the favorite sins on PEI are. Those are a few that we find in Ontario. You know, and it's great for them. You know, God really needed to get into their lives because they were a messed up bunch. But you know, I'm okay. I'm okay just the way I am. I hate to tell you that if you're among these people who just look at what Jesus does in other people's lives and, you know, you're amazed, but you don't buy in, that's a problem, because that's one option that we don't really have. God calls us to to either get in or get out. And so the invitation to us this morning is not just to be amazed at how great God is. It's good to be amazed at how great God is, but that's really not enough. Simply marveling at what he can do, marveling at his power, well, that's, you know, necessary but insufficient. And so this morning, we look at these people and how they responded to Jesus' deliverance of that man. And then we have to look at ourselves. Look in your own heart. Which one of those categories do you fall into? And I haven't found any other categories. Maybe there are some, and you could tell me after the service, well, I'm not in any of those categories. I have my own category. I'd be pleased to hear that. But some of you just don't get it. Some of you are afraid that if you believed in Jesus, he would, like, totally mess up your life. And, you know, if you came and told me that, I would say, you know what? You're right. Your life will never be the same. But that's good. Because your life now isn't as good as you think it is. Some of you, you're just rejoicing this morning. You think, wow, look at this guy. He just meets Jesus and he wants to go with him. I feel that in my heart. I want to respond the same way. I just want more of Jesus. More of his presence, more of his spirit. And I want to obey him. And some of you might just, that's okay for you. You needed that. I don't need it. But that's not true. That's not true because the Bible tells us that all humanity is in the same boat. We're all sinners. We're all tarred with the same brush. And we need deliverance. Deliverance from sin and its consequences. Deliverance from our own selfish impulses. And deliverance from the great enemy of our souls, Satan. And Jesus died on the cross to make that possible. So as you search your heart this morning, if you find yourself in any category except the one who has been delivered, please chat with me or one of the other folk here. The elders would be fine people to talk to. If you don't want to talk to a stranger, that's okay. But let us know that you're aware that you need what Jesus offers, and we'd be glad to explain that to you. Okay? We're all done. He didn't even say finally in conclusion. He just stopped. Let's pray.